there's no one here to complain.
That was Bless Your Heart, the newest single from Abby Stewart. Abby just happens to be my very special guest this week. My name is Stuart McKee, and this is Musicians FAQ. My guest this week has been a singer and a fan of country music her entire life. She gave her first performance when she was just 8 years old, and she's never looked back since. My guest today on Musicians FAQ is Abby Stewart. Abby, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Stuart.
My pleasure. Been looking forward to this chat. All right. So as always on the show, we like to get back to the beginning and really kind of find out the roots. And where were you born? What was your childhood like?
Yeah, I was born in Kingston, Ontario. I live just a few minutes outside of it. And I had such an awesome childhood, very, very supportive parents, very supportive sister. We live out kind of in the country. So, you know, there's fields all around, trees all around, lots of nature, definitely very inspiring for somebody who would someday get into songwriting. But yeah, my parents, they were awesome. They are awesome. They've tried to keep me like very, like rounded activity wise. Like obviously I have like music is the biggest thing in my life, but you know, I also played sports like hockey and softball and things like that. And yeah, tried to get into as many things as I could. Music kind of definitely took first place for me though. You know, I started learning guitar and writing songs when I was young. And, you know, entering different contests and things like that. And singing kind of became the thing that I revolved most around. But, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I find with a lot of these interviews, and I don't know if you've listened to some, but there seems to be a similar path. I mean, and, you know, sports and different things will enter into it. But there's something with everybody who gets into music that there's a calling or something that's really just driving them. I mean, I introduced my son to a lot of music and sports and the same thing as well, and hoping he'd go down the musical path with me, but I don't think it's going to be his thing. So you got to let them do what they do. But I think when you come to it naturally, I think that's when you have the best results. So what was it about singing and music in general? I mean, were there certain songs, certain band, certain singers? Was it a feeling that you had when you sang? Did you always knew that you wanted to be a singer?
Well, my parents, when I was like really young, like still a toddler, they would like sing songs to me going to sleep. So I would go to sleep with all of these, you know, Bryan Adams songs and other classic rock songs running through my head and nursery rhymes. And so I think, you know, as a young kid getting exposed to like people singing to me and people exposing me to different kinds of music, that really impacted me as a kid. And I don't know, I grew up singing. I would, you know, watch MTV and like the country music videos every morning. And I would kind of stand in front of the TV with like a fake microphone stand and a fake microphone and just like act out whatever like the music videos were doing right at the time. And so those are some of, yeah. So those are kind of some of my earliest memories of like really wanting to like try my hand at performing. And I entered like a school talent show when I was six, and that ended up being my first like public performance that wasn't in front of my parents. And I sang Avril Lavigne's When You're Gone. And it was such an amazing experience just getting up on stage and singing for people. And I fell in love with it. It was so much fun, and I just kept doing that talent show year after year as a kid, and started putting things on YouTube and stuff like that, and eventually just started getting gig offers at churches and at fairs and things like that. And I don't know, it's always been a part of me.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I was smiling when you were talking about your parents with the nursery rhymes and singing classic rock songs, because that was our nightly ritual with my son as well. And sometimes I'd even make up some songs. So were your parents musical, or were they just big music fans?
Well, my dad played keyboards in a garage band when he was a teenager, but he no, we're not a really musical family, but they were just huge fans of music, and like I said, exposed me to lots of different, classic rock artists when I was younger, and I just really clicked with that, and it became something that I loved. So, I definitely love those memories and those stories of them, singing me to sleep. So, thank you to them for sure.
Yeah, I think it probably is somewhat in the DNA, but I think that's those early formative years for sure that do it. Now, you mentioned Avril Lavigne, you've mentioned Bryan Adams. We were talking before the show. You're from Kingston, home of the Tragically Hip. So, a lot of Canadian bands and artists, were they a big influence on you, or you sort of, you've mentioned that lots of other music and genres and things that you're into, but is there something particular about Canadian content artists that that really moves you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love Avril Lavigne. I saw her when she came to Kingston a few years ago. Well, 2008, I want to say. So I would have been 7 years old going to see Avril Lavigne. And I don't know, there's just something so relatable and close to home when it comes to Canadian artists, because like you said, Kingston, home of the Tragically Hip. Bryan Adams was born here. Avril Lavigne is from Napanee, which is just up the road from me.
Right.
And I don't know, just seeing all these people that have come from the same place I have make it big like that, doing what they love to do. It's so inspiring. So I think, yeah, I've always been drawn to Canadian content, and yeah, they're amazing artists, and I'm proud to be Canadian. So it's just amazing that they are too.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I read a book and I'm blanking on the title of it, but it was really kind of about the growth of the Canadian music industry through the 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. And it's really amazing when you look back and think about not just how many great artists, but how many great producers and songwriters, and how the business really burgeoned here. And I mean, so many great bands that came out. And you know, it's amazing when you look back. I mean, I was, and it's funny how I think we kind of look to the United States or other places, Europe and things like that. When I remember being younger and seeing Russian concert and being shocked to find out they actually were Canadian, I didn't even realize they're a Canadian band. I mean, I knew the Guess Who were
Oh,
Canadian. I was a big fan of that. So
yeah.
I don't know if there's that mindset, but it seems like a lot of artists now aren't as determined that they need to go stateside to make it, and you can have success at home. And is that what you're finding?
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah, Toronto has a huge, huge music hub for sure. But yeah, I don't know. There's just something about Canadian content that I think speaks to a lot of people. And I do agree with, you don't have to always go, south of the border to make it big or whatever. I mean, taking Canadian country music, for example, there's so many amazing Canadian country artists, Dallas Smith and Jess Moskalouk and Tennille Towns, so many people that have just had so much success in Canada and are just so loved by so many people. It's a really, really cool community and very inspiring for sure.
Now, did you, when you started singing, did you realize that you had such a good voice, or did people around you? I mean, I know it's common for parents and family to always say, you know, they're so proud and, oh, you're such a great singer. But were you getting that from, you know, teachers? And I mean, I was kicked out of the school choir. So it took me a
Oh.
lot, you know, and I'm still not comfortable with my own voice. And I know a lot of singers are like that, even really good singers. I mean, I certainly don't consider myself a singer. I consider myself more of a songwriter. But, you know, were the chops there right from the beginning, or is it something you had to develop, or sort of a combination?
That's a good question. I I would say that it was probably a bit of both. I like I said, I had like my first public performance when I was six, just at a school talent show. And we had a lot of people like come up to me and my parents like afterwards and say, you know, you should really get into singing lessons. I think that if you know, took it seriously, it could really, you know, be something. And, you know, at that point in my life, I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, this is just something I really love to do. I just love singing and performing. I don't know if I want to, you know, go crazy with it. But then the more I thought about it and the more I got on stage and the more I did it, I was like, no, this is definitely something that I want to do. I love performing so much. So yeah, I definitely have had to like develop my voice over the years for sure. There's, you know, lots that goes into developing exercises and breathing exercises and muscle exercises and all that. So I think definitely there's a lot of development over the years, and I actually took singing lessons for about 11 years with Barbara Sarek, who's in Kingston here, and she is absolutely amazing. She's a classical singer, so I've been classically trained in a lot of ways, which has been super beneficial. But yeah, I would say it's a bit of both. I mean, I people told me when I was young I had a really, really good voice, and I just had to take the next step to, you know, further my progress.
Right. And so two things that caught me there with the classical training. I know some other rock and country and pop singers who've had that classical training. And is it something that strengthens the range of your voice? I mean, it's certainly a certain it's a very stylized way of singing. And I know some classical singers who have stuck to classical singing and haven't gone into the pop and rock world. And it doesn't really seem like the two sort of meet, but how was it that that sort of training prepared you for what you're doing now?
It definitely, like you said, it definitely helped like develop my range higher and lower. So that has definitely been beneficial for me. The way that Barbara really helped me develop myself was all of the exercises and like warm-ups we would do were very classical, like very stand up straight, you know, support your diaphragm, like big vocal kind of exercises. And that really like broadens your range when you do it like repetitively and repetitively. So then bringing it back to country music and like pop and rock music, it actually it's easier. Like it's two different styles, but when they kind of meld together, it makes it easier and more relaxed and less like shouty. Like that's a problem I have sometimes is I get too shouty rather than just like actually singing. I'm just kind of forcing it too much. So melding like those really healthy like classical habits with you know, country and pop and all of that, it's definitely been beneficial. So yeah.
Right. And it's interesting that you said that because I was listening to, I think, a live video of yours the other day, and you were getting pretty loud and it was on stage, but it didn't migrate into that shouty range. It was still melodic. You were still singing. I thought that's where I was really impressed
Oh.
when somebody's got a powerful voice like that. But even at that level and live, it's still, you can hear the tone and you can hear the melody. And it's not just somebody belting it out. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I love the shouters. The shouters are fun to listen to too.
Daydream has never been this easy. It's you, baby. You got me thinking that it's only just us two crazy. Riding this bus, looking out the window, trying not to fall asleep, leaning into you. What can I do? Understand what I'm feeling. skies and butterflies got me here and love me do. You're a blackbird singing in the dead of night, but I'm learning to fly for you. The sun's gonna shine, the wind's gonna blow, just like my heart I can't control. Something like gravity, but boy, I got
at the Isabel with a song called I Can't Help It.
The other thing that caught me when you're talking about, you know, you knew that you loved music, but it wasn't really, you weren't sure if it was something, I guess, what point does it change from hobby to like, yes, this is what I want to do with my life?
Well, I would say that when I did my first like contest, it was like a singing contest, and I was lucky enough to win it that year. I was like, oh, this is something that I could like really do. Like, I've always loved performing, like ever since that first performance. But, you know, I wasn't sure if I was like, do I want to, you know, when I'm six, I'm like, yeah, I just like singing and performing. But then I was like, oh no, this is something I can definitely pursue and that I can feel it. It's definitely right. So yeah, I would say like when I got into like doing contests and getting gig offers was when I was like, oh yes, this is something, this feels right.
Right. Great. And what about songwriting? Do you write songs? I think I was reading that the recent release that you have, excuse me, and some of your songs are written by other artists, but are you writing yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. My last single was not written by me. It's called Bless Your Heart. It was written by my producer, Jeff Dalziel, and Karen Kozowski, and fellow Canadian artist, Ali. So that one wasn't written by me, but I have definitely been writing songs for a long while now. The songs on my EP first, I wrote four of those songs. And, you know, that album came out when I was like 14. So they're older material now, but I've been writing songs for a really long time, and it's something that I've always enjoyed. It can be very cathartic, as I'm sure you can relate to.
Right.
But yeah, it's very cathartic. You can write about anything you want depending on your mood, and I actually just finished a boot camp with the Songwriting Academy last week with award-winning producer and songwriter Rob Wells. He's like worked with Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber, so getting to hear his, you know, take on songwriting and producing was so amazing and so beneficial. So it's definitely something I've always loved to do.
Yeah, I saw that. There was somebody else I think I knew that was in that course with Rob Wells. I had actually been lucky enough to take a master class with him last year through the SAC, Songwriter Association. And I think you said Christopher Ward was in that group as well.
Yeah, Christopher Ward. He was a mentor for one of the days last week, and he was so amazing. Written Black Velvet by Alanna Miles and Love Is and so many other hits and things like that. So it was definitely so amazing to hear his take on songwriting as well.
Good, I'm glad. So was there an actual song that grabbed you? Like for me, the first song that really shook my world was Hey Jude by the Beatles. Was there a song like that for you?
I don't know if there's a specific song. There's definitely like an album, like Reckless by Bryan Adams is one of my favorite albums of all time. So I don't know if there's a specific song, but there's definitely like I don't have favorites of many things just because there's too much I love. I can't pin it down like that kind of thing. So I don't know if there's a specific song, but definitely artists and people who've inspired me.
Nice. And have you seen Bryan Adams in concert?
I have seen him many times in concert. Yeah, he's
Nice.
an incredible performer.
Yeah, he really is. The first time I saw him was stateside at a Farm Aid concert, and again, many, many years ago. But it was incredible seeing him come on stage. And I mean, it got the biggest response of the day. And there was some huge, huge artists there. I mean, Bob Dylan and John Cougar and Neil Young and
Ooh.
all these amazing artists. But then Brian came out. It was something to see a full stadium of Americans standing on their feet cheering, and you're going, wow, this is so cool. I mean, he's from
Yeah.
my country.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really neat. So certainly one of your inspirational artists. So how do you move from, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, blues, rock, country, they're all kind of overlapping, but how do you go from Bryan Adams, Avril Lavigne to the country genre that you're in now?
So I like fell in love with country when Taylor Swift started her like country career. And Love Story by her, that might be one of like my inspirational songs, just going back to that question, because that's the first song I heard by her and it immediately got me hooked into the country scene. So, I started listening to country stations and watching CMT and things like that. And that just exposed me to all sorts of other different artists like Carrie Underwood and Miranda Lambert and Brad Paisley and people like that. And soon that got me on to Canadian country, which was just even better. And yeah, so Taylor Swift just kind of who sucked me into the country world and I just never let it go because I fell in love with it. There's that saying that's like three chords and a story is what country music is, and I totally agree with that. It's so much fun. I love like the storytelling that comes with country music. So yeah.
And it's, again, talking to a lot of younger songwriters, female songwriters, Taylor Swift comes up a lot. CJ Cooper, who I've worked with, is a big fan of hers. And it's interesting watching her transition from, I mean, always writing her own songs from the very beginning, but then from country to full on pop. And it's funny, I certainly appreciated Taylor Swift. I mean, obviously, I'm a lot older. I'm male. I probably couldn't relate to the angst in her teenage lyrics. And my niece was a big fan, who's now 30. So I guess about Taylor's age. But I would learn the songs just sort of out as a courtesy to her, and started to really appreciate her. But it wasn't until I saw her play with Vince Gill. They did a track from the Red Album on one of the award shows, and I thought, okay. She's playing with Vince Gill. Vince Gill is endorsing her, then she's got to be the real deal. And since then, I've certainly dug in and understood her more. And now she's worked with another one of my heroes, or Paul McCartney. So it's incredible the amount of. I mean, she's very prolific. She's very bold. She's always developing, always growing. Do you see yourself making that leap at some point from country to pop, or is it just really you're not even thinking that far ahead? You're loving what you're doing, and who knows what could happen down the road?
Yeah, I think it's like that. Who knows what could happen down the road, but currently country music is definitely where my heart is at. Taylor Swift, I love her pop stuff so much, and it was definitely, the right decision for her, I think. So, but yeah, when it comes to me, country music is definitely where I'm at right now. But who knows?
Yeah, never say never. Well, I mean, hopefully you'll have a long, long career, and I think that's what happens these days. Is it was a lot of artists from the 60s who are still around today, the Stones, nobody really thought about a 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 year career in music. I mean, it was have a couple of hits and get out and, you know, have something to fall back on. So on that note, I mean, are you in school? Are you planning to have sort of a plan B, or are there other things that you're doing as well? Or is it all in on music and sink or swim?
It's definitely all in on music in some degree, music and performing, because currently I'm in college for the performing arts and like musical theater and stuff like that. So definitely I always want to be involved in something that has to do with the arts. So that's, I wouldn't say it's like a fallback plan. It's just more music.
Right. Well, yeah. Again, it's interesting. I was listening to an interview yesterday. I think it was Bonnie McKee, and she was talking about one of her mentors. And one of the things he said is, you know, you don't have to write every day. You don't have to do this every day, but live a creative life every day. So always being doing something. So what you're going to school for is certainly related to creative arts and performing. So some element of it, because I think that was one of the words of advice that Rob Wells had too, is that you've got to have some sort of decompressed time, and you've got to have some moment to reflect where there's no music on, and you've you know, you've got to be able to recharge and pull in all these other influences to help your writing and to help your creativeness. So is there a plan for a full-length album? Are we going to be seeing that anytime soon?
You know, that is definitely on my radar. It's on my goal list. You know, I just released my latest single, Bless Your Heart, in February. And we are, Jeff Dalziel and I, we are planning on recording another single sometime this summer. We're getting it lined up, stuff like that. So I've got lots of other songs that I have recorded and that I've written that I would love to get on a full length album. So that's definitely in the future. I'm not sure when, but you know, and it could be another EP that would probably be more on the horizon at this point. But yeah, a new album is definitely coming.
Great. Yeah. And that's an interesting observation I made too, when I was reading some of your notes about the release of Bless Your Heart and saying how the song was written. I think I recorded a year ago, and you've really taken your time to make sure you get it right. And it's interesting, because I think once you maybe get with a record company, there's certainly a lot of resources behind you and all the development plans and marketing, but I would think that there's more of a push to get material out. Certainly in the old days, it was, you know, a lot of the country artists were saying in the 90s and before that is, you know, an album a year, sometimes two albums a year in the rock and pop world. So it sounds like you're really taking your time. And when I listen to that song and see the video and hear the performance and the writing, I mean, it certainly to me is worth the wait. I mean, you
did the right thing. Thank you.
On the gas, needles buried in Cadillac.
Another killer track by Abby Stewart that's called I'm Still Faster.
So is that sort of your goal, is just to really, you know, you're not feeling any pressure right now to get things done, or you're young, you've got sort of many, many years ahead of you, hopefully. But are you worried about sort of jumping on it now and getting recognized now, or is it just really more important to you to do it right and take your time? And
you know, I would say it's a little bit of both. I do want to take my time. I want to get it right. You know, get all my ducks in a row, so to speak. But no, I wouldn't say that I feel like rushed about anything, especially because of, like, you know, COVID. That things would definitely be, I think, a little more fast moving if that just hadn't happened. But yeah, Bless Your Heart took a while to get out. Like I said, I heard it for the first time in 2019, summer 2019, recorded it January 2020, and then things just got pushed back by a lot because of COVID. And yeah, I don't know. We are definitely like getting on it this summer. We've got lots of songs, and hopefully an EP on the horizon. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
And as far as yourself, I mean, are you going to be out performing this summer solo or with the band? Do you have an actual regular working band of musicians, or the same musicians that work in the studio with you, or how does that work?
No, I do have a band. They're all from here, from Kingston. And not the same band that I work in the studio with. Jeff kind of has lots of friends and lots of connections, and they he gets just the most amazing guys to help me on tracks and stuff. But my band, when I perform live, they're just absolutely amazing. I love them all so much. And they've been with me for so long that they're my second family, basically. But yeah, I do have a couple things, but unfortunately, because I can't be with a full band right now, they are just by myself. But Kingston has such an amazing music community. They always have lots of opportunities for artists to put themselves out there. And, you know, because of COVID, a lot of that stuff has had to be canceled, but they have made like solo concerts available to people. So that's what I'll be doing. Like I'll be downtown in our city hall area performing just solo. And like everything is socially distanced and everything is like safe and up to code and things like that. And just them providing musicians like me with those outlets to do those kinds of things, it just means so much. Cause I actually performed last week for the first time in months. It's so crazy that my summers are usually, you know, filled with shows and filled with stuff to do. And I'm kind of sitting here scratching my head, just doing like the online thing and online concerts, which I'm super, super grateful for. I'm so glad that we have, you know, the technology to get music to people this way.
Right.
But, you know, nothing beats the live feeling, you know?
Yeah, it's just not the same. You know, I've never really been a solo performer. I've played in bands, but I did do one virtual concert this year as part of Michelle Neri's house party. And it was a lot of fun. It was nice. And it was something he was putting on regularly every week. So you'd see some new artists and you'd see some friends and people that you knew from the different songwriting groups. But yeah, it's just not the same. And it depends on people's setup too. I mean, there's some people, I mean, they've got nice clear video and great sound, and you know, you can almost feel, you put them up on the big screen and you got a drink going and you dim the lights, you can almost feel like you're at a concert. And then there's other ones where the performances are a little scratchy. But yeah, I am really, really itching to get out and be in a bar and see a band. And so what's the reopening strategy in Kingston? Are you guys, what stage are you in right now?
We are just starting to open. We just opened like stores and like stores on like the outside of the mall, like that kind of thing. Like you can't go in the mall, like that kind of thing. And like patios and stuff are open. And I believe, I want to say tomorrow, but I might be wrong, we're starting to open up a little bit more. So like interior dining might be available, things like that. So we're slowly but steadily making progress, but can't wait till it's completely normal. And it's so weird because when I say normal, I think of what's going on today as normal now, and I need to get out of that mindset.
Oh, I know. Well, it's been a year and a half and it really has been the new normal. I mean, the province is moving to that that stage tomorrow. I think our region, we're a little bit delayed because we're considered one of the hot spots now for the Delta variant. So we're going out for our second shot this Saturday. Have you had first or second shot? Or
yeah, I got my first shot, and I actually just got rescheduled to get my second one this Friday. So nice. I can't wait.
Perfect. Well, that's great. And then, so as far as songwriting, and what we may see from an EP, are you hoping to have more of your own songs on it, or is it really just whatever the best song is? I mean, it sounds like for yourself that maybe the ego isn't involved in much in it, as much as with some artists, oh, I have to do all my own songs. Whereas some, a lot of the great bands, and a lot of great artists over the years have had some of their biggest success on songs that other people wrote with them or for them, or songs that had been hits before. And so is it really just about having the best song, or are you more determined to get some of your own songs onto the EP or the next album?
Once again, I would say a little bit of both. I mean, I am still learning about songwriting. I'm learning every day. I'm getting better every day. You know, it's all just, it's a skill that just keeps developing. So I am very grateful for all the amazing songwriters that pitch songs and that, you know, make songs available for artists to record and make their own and give their own interpretations to. So, and, you know, much better songwriters than me. So having that material be like available to me and be offered to me, I'm just extremely grateful for those opportunities. So when a song comes along that, you know, I didn't write, but was written by amazing songwriters and that I just click with immediately, I definitely want to get my hands on it, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
But yeah, if an EP or something is in the works, I would definitely want my own stuff on there. I write all the time. I have lots of demos done. I've, you know, gone on Nashville trips to do songwriting and come back with material that I'm really proud of, that I would really love to, you know, get produced and get a final version of. So yeah, I would say a bit of both. I'm super, super grateful for, you know, songwriters and the people who make songwriting their life and who come up with these absolutely incredible songs. So yeah.
And I see a piano behind you. I know I've seen you play guitar. So you play guitar, do you play piano as well? Or?
I don't play piano. I am learning piano. That is, we take like keyboarding classes in school as well. So I'm kind of getting into like the basics of piano, but maybe I'll bring a keyboard to a show one of these days and figure something out. That would be fun.
Well, it's funny. I've got my laptop that I'm talking to you through is sitting on a keyboard and I've got a piano in the studio as well. I'm more of a guitar player, but I found just playing around on the piano in the last year, I've had time with COVID to kind of learn it a little bit better. And it changes the way you write songs. And it's an interesting thing. It's just switching to a different instrument. I mean, it's like putting a capo on your guitar. You get a different sound and
suddenly
inspires a different type of song. Now, when you're in Nashville, did you get a chance to play at the Bluebird?
I didn't, not the Bluebird. I have been to Nashville quite a few times. And, you know, you've been to Nashville, have you?
I have, yeah, a couple times.
Yeah. So you know all of like the awesome places on Broadway, like Tootsie's and yep. The stage and stuff like that. So the other times that I've been to Nashville, I have gotten up on those stages and been able to sing a few songs, which has been just an incredible experience, just getting to perform on Broadway in Nashville, just so incredible. But the Bluebird is definitely on my bucket list. So maybe someday, that would be amazing.
Yeah. I haven't actually performed anywhere in Nashville. I've gone down there on my own, with my wife years ago, and then with a band that I played in years ago, we did a trip down in Nashville, Memphis. And so we've done all the typical tourist spots. Did you catch an Opry show as well while you were down there?
Oh, absolutely. Another bucket list. That would be incredible.
Yeah, we were lucky. My wife and I think we went early 90s. And I mean, Marty Stewart was on the bill and Minnie Pearl was still there. And some of the old original legends were there as well. And it was, I mean, Roy Acuff, we caught him. I think some of the people that we caught on that show had died with, you know, the next year or a couple of years after. But it was really kind of cool to just to be there and see the original legends of that place.
I was just gonna say one of the times that I got to go to the Opry, Pam and Mel Tillis were there. And I think the next year, like, Mel passed away. So it was just really, it was amazing getting to see them both there on the same night and, you know, getting to perform with each other. It was really cool. And I was also lucky enough to be there the same night Carrie Underwood and Toby Keith were on the same bill. So it definitely got some really cool memories at the Opry.
Yeah, that would be incredible. It's funny, Mel Tillis had played in Kitchener many, many years ago. My parents were actually at the show. And I remember watching, I don't know if it was Letterman or Johnny Carson. I think it was Johnny Carson the next night. Mel Tillis was on Johnny Carson. And he referenced playing Kitchener, Canada on a Tuesday night. That was a lot of fun or something.
Like,
hey, they just mentioned my city. That's really cool.
That is cool. Wow.
And he was an interesting character that, you know, he'd stutter through a conversation, but when he got on stage and sang, it all went away. And I think that's the magic of music that, you know, whether people just do it because they have to do it or, you know, to alleviate anxiety or to feel better, or it's just, but it's so transformative and it's incredible to see that growth with young artists like yourself. So any mm-hmm. artists that, you know, indie artists, up and coming artists, who are you following? Who's sort of, you know, people maybe you've worked with or you'd like to work with, or just people that you're a fan of right now?
Yeah, I've had such amazing opportunities to work with and write songs with so many awesome Canadian, like, up and coming artists. And they're all amazing songwriters, all amazing singers. Cause, you know, like I said, the Canadian country music scene up here, it's so, like, tight knit, and it's like a family, really. Like, you see everybody at the CMAOs, the CCMAs. It's like, you know, we haven't been able to do that the last couple of years, but it's just like getting to see everybody. But yeah, bands like Buck 20, they're amazing. Dustin Seabird, Haley Benedict, they're such amazing, like, up and coming Canadian artists, and following them all the time has been really, really cool.
That's awesome. Well, I think our time is getting near the end. It's just flown by because I've really enjoyed talking with you. So much more we could chat about. Now, we generally end the show with the 10 questions. It's a questionnaire by French host Bernard Pivot and made famous by James Lipton from the Actors Studio. I don't know if you've ever seen the Actors Studio, but I thought it was a great way to end up the show. So are you ready for the 10 questions?
Absolutely.
All right. Before we get into that, is there anything else that you want to sort of plug or talk about? I think we've pretty much covered everything, but is there anything that...
Yeah. Maybe just I could mention, like, Bless Your Heart and, like, my music on streaming services and social media and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll make sure that people, you've got to hear this song. You've got to see this video. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Abby Stewart. And you're on all the platforms. I know you're on Spotify. You're on YouTube. And then is it abbystewart.com for your website?
Yeah, it's www.abbystewartmusic.com.
Abbystewartmusic.com.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You can like find my YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and everything there.
You're out there. If you can't find her, there's something wrong with you. All right. So jumping ahead, what is your favorite word?
Ooh, favorite word. You know, a fun one to say is notorious. That's just, I want to write a song with that word in it.
It's a great, great word. I think there was a Duran Duran song from the 80s, Notorious.
Ooh, that's my mom's favorite band.
Oh, there you go. I saw them open up for David Bowie many years ago. What is your least favorite word?
Ooh, I'm going to be that person and say moist. That's such a icky word. Do you remember the speaking moistly thing last year that became like a meme? Yeah, that was really funny.
It's a very uncomfortable word.
Yeah.
What turns you on creatively, spiritually, emotionally?
Oh, literally anything, like, with a positive vibe. Like, if it's creatively, you know, that's so cheesy saying everything, but really anything can be inspirational if you know where to look, you know. Like, I love collaborating with people, like co-writing all the time and things like that. And if they bring, you know, positive energy to the write and to the situation, then I'm going to be got the creative juices flowing like that. But yeah, I don't know, just being like around my family and around my friends. That's where a lot of my inspiration comes from as well. So I would say definitely stuff like that would like turn me on creatively and emotionally and things like that.
Nice. And to sort of digress on that point for a bit, collaborating with songwriting, do you do most of your songwriting with other people, or have you written quite a few songs on your own? And is there one that you prefer over the other?
I have definitely written songs like on my own as well, but I love collaborating with people and co-writing. It's just, you know, if you get writer's block, but they don't, it flows smoothly. And sometimes, you know, they bring ideas to the table that you would never have thought of. And it's like just perfect. So in those regards, I love co-writing so much. And it's a great way to, like, you know, network and make connections all throughout the country and all throughout, you know, Nashville and other music places like that. So no, I love collaborating.
All right. Getting back to the questions. What turns you off?
Well, once again, from like a collaboration viewpoint, you know, negative energy. Negative energy is just like, it's the worst. It's just going to stump you creatively, like immediately, you know, because if everything's positive and you're having fun and you're not worrying about, you know, whether this is the best song in the world or whatever, it comes so much more naturally. So I would definitely say, like, just, you know, people shutting down ideas or anything before they can really come to fruition, that definitely would turn me off creatively.
Yeah. And there's a lot of negativity in the world these days, but we lose sight of all the positivity, and there's lots of that out there too. It's funny, McKillen Hay had reminded me of, you know, something that we're told to do in collaborations. When somebody comes up with an idea that maybe you don't think is the best idea, rather than saying no or being negative about that idea, saying yes, or how about this?
Or, exactly. You know,
and I think that's something our politicians need to learn, because I find they spend all their time just shooting each other down. Well, then, you know, unless you have a better solution.
Yeah.
All right. You. So the big one, what is your favorite curse word?
Oh, curse word. I'm going to get in trouble. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Rhymes with duck? No. No, I would say I'm gonna go with the kind of like the safe choice, which is like sugar honey iced tea, if you know what that stands for. That's like it's a good one to get the frustration out of your system.
Perfect. My son's been teaching me alternative words, because I have a bit of a trucker's mouth. Use an old school term. All right. What sound or noise do you love?
Well, from a music standpoint, I obviously love, you know, sounds of instruments playing. I love acoustics. A good harmony line in a song is always like perfect. Not oddly, lots of people do it, but something that really helps me like sleep at night is, you know what ASMR is?
Oh, the sort of the noise or the quiet noise.
Yeah. Like those like tapping noises, stuff like that. It's they're really relaxing and they help me sleep at night. So I would say stuff like that as well.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Oh, like the sound of people chewing or like gulping something. That's like, that sets my teeth on edge, I think.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Ooh, something in like film, like movie and TV, like not even as like in front of the camera or whatever, like even behind the scenes, like a cinematographer or like a boom mic operator or camera person. That would be really, really cool, I think, to work on movie sets.
That's awesome. What profession would you not like to do?
I don't know. Ooh, good question. Honestly, anything that's like outside of the arts. I feel truly that I'm a like artistic person, so I would truly be happy with anything within that umbrella.
Right, perfect. And lastly, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Ooh, deep question. I think I'd like to hear him say that all are welcome. Because, you know, there's so much like discrimination in the world, and, you know, lots of people, you know, deciding who can and who can't get into heaven or whatever. And, you know, hearing God say something like, all are welcome and it doesn't matter, that would be perfect and definitely my idea of heaven. So, yeah.
That's a beautiful sentiment. I don't think I've ever heard that answer before, but I think that's something to strive for. Hopefully we can find that on earth before we get to heaven.
Yeah, exactly.
Abby Stewart, it was really, really a great hour of conversation and really a joy to talk to you. And I'm so excited to hear the next sort of phase of your career unfold and hear the songs that you present us and hopefully get to see you perform live very soon.
Oh, I hope so. Thank you so much for having me, Stewart. This was really, really awesome.
Oh, good. My pleasure.
I can't say I didn't try to pick up my pieces of the life I left behind when darkness was my only option. But too many choices were playing with my senses.
This is Abby Stewart, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ on CKMS 102.7.
Zeppelin tea, your Thomas Red CDs. Took your snapbacks, your Stetson hat, and your Green Bay jersey. Took those Ray-Ban shades and your Xbox games. You took all my tears and a couple good years, so I'm taking a few souvenirs. A few souvenirs. And took those Ray-Ban shades and your Xbox games. You took all.